Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace. This episode is the interview I did at the recent Long Beach Comic Con with the creators of Morning Glories. So I guess you could call this a Morning Glories Monday. There are certainly more in-depth podcasts that deal with Morning Glories. It's such a complex story, and the characters, you know, it's really easy to get lost. The plot is super complicated, but it's so rich. It's such a detailed world, very realistic. You'll hear one of the creators, Joe Eisma, call it a cross between Runaways and Lost, which he mentions this in the podcast too. At this point, the series has been around so long that that reference is starting to get dated. At the time when it started, of course, everybody knew exactly what that meant. You know, Lost was a huge hit on television, but it's been quite a few years since that was the case. And, you know, it finished its run, let's say, and it's kind of gone away. Same thing with Runaways, which was a huge hit for Marvel. And, you know, a lot of comic readers now don't even remember it or have never heard of it. So, I just want to recommend real quickly, if you go to multiversitycomics.com, they have, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you'll see where it says annotations. And you can click on that. You can find podcasts there that go in-depth, also articles that go in-depth, talking about each issue individually. So if you're a Morning Glories fan and you've never had a chance to listen to those or read those articles, I recommend them. You know, if you're looking to get more out of the stories or see what other Morning Glories fans, what clues and what theories they had as the story has progressed, like I said, I definitely recommend that. About the interview itself, Nick Spencer is a really, really amazing writer, and he's working on a lot of things these days, most notably the Captain America Steve Rogers title that really had a pretty big controversy when the first issue came out. But he's got a lot of great ideas. You know, he's got his creator-owned books at Image. He's got the titles he's working on at Marvel. And he's just a really, really thoughtful writer. And he really, really kind of plans things out long-term. And so that's especially important when you have a story like Morning Glories with so many moving parts, so many plot lines, so many things they want to get to. So the title is just about halfway through its planned run of around 100 issues. So I think it's a great title. It's one of those books that you definitely get a lot of value for your dollar because you have to read it multiple times. And there's a lot of throwaway references or what appear to be throwaway references in early issues especially, and then those things end up paying off later on, and it makes for a very rewarding reading experience. And I've just started doing a complete reread of all one through of issues 1 through 50, so I'm certainly enjoying that. So I hope you all get something out of this interview. It was great to talk to Joe Eisma and Nick Spencer about the book. I think it's one of the few remaining long-form stories that are being published in comics today. You know, you have the long-running titles from the big two about, you know, superheroes, but it's certainly not the same as Morning Glories, you know, which is about a group of kids at a private academy. So it's apples and oranges. And, you know, when I talked to Jonathan Layman recently at the Phoenix Comic Con, we touched on that about how it seems like most readers just, it's not what they want anymore. They want easily digestible, small, bite-sized stories. And so for Morning Glories to still be going strong at issue 50, it's a real testament to the passion of the fans of the title and also to the work that Eisma and Spencer are doing. So that's becoming more rare these days. So my hat's off to them, and I thank them for their time. So hope you all enjoy the interview, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace from The Comic Source, presented by LRM Media. I'm here. I have the pleasure to be sitting here with two comic creators who created one of the craziest, most in-depth, most out there series of one of my favorites of all time, and that's Morning Glories. So I'm here with Joe Eisma, Nick Spencer. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So, Morning Glories ended with 50. Let's start with you, Nick. What are your feelings on the end of an era?
It's just a little hiatus. We'll be back next year with Morning Glory Summer Vacation. But yeah, as far as the season ending and the volume ending, it's obviously a big landmark for us. Obviously, when you are doing a book that's this long form and that's intended to run for this long, it's nice to have these little markers along the road to kind of commemorate getting this far. You know, it's not that many books hit 50 issues, period, these days. So, you know, for us to be at that point and to still be going strong is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I was talking to Jonathan Lehman, and he was talking about the fact that there doesn't seem to be kind of a desire for stories to go on this long anymore. So it's a dedicated fan base that can keep a book going, right, Joe?
Yeah, totally. I mean, we thankfully have a really dedicated fan base, because otherwise, I mean, there's no way we could have gone on as long as we did.
And looking back on the run from 1 to 50, obviously you knew how it started, or how you wanted the story to start, you know how it ends, and you have these little, like you mentioned, Nick, these landmarks along the way. When you look at that story as a whole from 1 to 50, how much organically did the story change in that big chunk?
Big picture-wise, it really hasn't. You know, we're kind of exactly where I thought we would be at the end of issue 50, which is nice. But there's a lot along the way that got moved, that got changed. You know, I tried to structure the story so that I still have some freedom in the details to kind of come up with new things or to move things around as I see fit. But yeah, for the most part, you know, we knew that. I always knew that the introducing the truants and that big story was going to be the kind of bridge between season one and season two, and I always knew that what eventually became of the truants and the reveal of the headmaster would be the end of season two. So the big moments have stayed pretty intact from the initial plan.
So working with this guy and his crazy ideas, Joe, you look back over that first 50 issues. What, for you, was the biggest surprise?
The Tower of Babel sequence that we did, because there's a whole sequence where all the characters were speaking in different tongues, and I thought he was insane to do that, but it was so cool. It was great. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was like our Indiana Jones sequence, and it was a thrill to draw that. So it was probably like the standout one for me. But yeah, like that's the one.
Do you get asked this question a lot? Like, where do you come up with your crazy ideas for stories?
I mean, you get asked, but there's never really a good answer for it. You know, that's just kind of the nature of the job. I think if people understood where their ideas came from, they would have a lot more of them. But, you know, I'm very lucky that this one has resonated the way that it has and that we continue to be able to tell this story.
Yeah, and you have other titles you work on. But I've heard this from a lot of writers, that a writer is always writing, even when they're not necessarily, you know, sitting in front of their laptop or their computer or, you know, writing out longhand. You're always, in a way, working on the story in the back of your mind. Do you find that's true for you as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, most of the job of writing isn't at the desk typing. That's usually by the time you're at that point, you're at the easy part, you know, where you've decided where you're going and it's just kind of putting it down on the page. You know, most of what writing entails is tossing and turning and pacing and visualizing and dreaming up the ideas in the first place. That's really, and then taking those ideas and editing them and trimming them and forcing them into something better and trying to shape them. You know, that's really what the job is. That's the demand.
So I wonder if you can remember when this guy first approached you about this crazy idea for a book. Mm-hmm. How did that go about? Like, how did he pitch it to you, and how excited were you to get started right away?
Pitched it as Runaways meets Lost, which now nobody gets. But we met on a message board, a comic message board, and he saw my stuff in an art thread, liked it, and pitched me the story. And artists get pitches all the time, and not all of them are very good, but this one just blew me away. So I loved the first issue script that he sent, So I was more than happy to jump on board. So it was like, I knew we had something special.
Yeah. Now, when you read that first script, how much had you done, Nick, as far as like character design? Was that, did you know the look of the characters, or was that something that Joe, that you guys collaborated and went back and forth, kind of locking in the way each character was going to look?
There wasn't too much for me initially. I knew that Rodine had already come on board and was doing covers, and he had done some sketches at almost the exact same time. And what was really funny was how similar the two were. There wasn't that much, so that was really good. I don't tend to do like super hyper detailed visual character descriptions. Just because that's Joe's department, and he'll do better than I will. Very rarely will I send like photo rep and stuff. It has to be like a really attractive guy. Like, it's got to be like a shirtless dude.
But one of the things that's so cool about the book, and so cool about the industry right now, I feel like we're in a golden age of comics. There's so many great stories that are being told, that are resonating, that have big fan bases like Morning Glories does. And it doesn't have to be superhero. Like, back in the day, it's like everything had to be superhero, didn't sell, right? But that also has to be, in a way, a challenge for you, Joe, visually, because you have to give all these characters a unique look, but they're at an academy, they all have the same uniform, and so that's always a challenge, right?
Yep.
Because on the page, you don't want it to be confusing. You want to make sure the voices are clear, who's saying what, and so...
Yeah.
And plus, also the design of the actual world, beyond just, you know, you're not doing a lot of, you know, explosions and these superhero fights, right?
Right.
So how do you go about making sure that the story is coming across coherently?
Well, it really kind of just comes down to trying to imbue each character with a personality. You know, make sure that there's certain gestures, behaviors, the way they hold themselves, different tweaks to their appearance, different body types, you know, all that stuff, to try to individualize each of them.
We have talked a little bit about how it does have a dedicated following. I'm sure you two get fans coming up all the time. Oh my God, Morning Glories is so great. Could you pick out a favorite fan moment, or maybe a couple favorite fan moments from Morning Glories that you've had, like at a con or at a signing or whatever?
We've had a lot of pretty great ones. It would be tough to narrow it down. I just had somebody just made us real nice cookies.
Yeah.
With the Morning Glories flowers on them, with lots of tattoos out there. But you know, more than that, just the folks who come to the, we do these chats after every issue online, and those folks, and the folks who keep the wiki up to date. You know, that stuff really impresses me and amazes me, that the people who really pay that close attention to detail, that's a super rewarding thing to have. I've had a lot of really great experiences in comics. I've had some nice high-profile books, but I've never had, at any level, the kind of dedication that the fans of this book show.
Well, as a Morning Glories fan, let me tell you, there's so much passion in the story that you two are telling, and it comes across, and the story is amazing, and there's so much depth, and honestly, it's gotten to be where I can't do this anymore, but it used to be when it was right around the teens, every time a new issue would come out, I'd go back and read it from the beginning and add that new one on.
I go back and do rereads myself a fair amount, and it has gotten harder now that we're up to 50. I'm gonna sit down here in a couple of months probably and do another 1 through 50, you know. It is becoming a more daunting process to catch up with every issue, but you know, imagine what it'll be like by the end.
And still planning to do 100 issues, right?
Somewhere around there, hopefully. Absolutely.
Okay, well, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Especially Joe. I know your voice sounds like it's good.
I know. I'm talking all weekend.
Well, I really appreciate it, gentlemen.
Hey, thanks so much.
Where's the best place online for each of you? Fans want to reach out or keep up to date with your work?
Twitter, probably.
It's just Joe Eisner?
Super Joe. SUPAJOE.
And mine's just same on Twitter, just Nick Spencer.
Nick Spencer. Great. Yeah. Thanks a lot, gentlemen.